Well, I guess a lot of people are disappointed with the new X-Files film. It's not like Dark Knight. They love that one, but the X-Files film, they're just not too happy about. If you have had a chance to look at it, you might want to check in with us. We'll be back. Open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go now with the open line portion of the program. Let's go to Tony in Chicago, east of the Rockies, where I was just there last weekend. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, George. How are you?
Good, not bad.
Wow, you know, I'm really impressed to get through again. I talked to you once before when I was talking about playing with some soldiers in the hallway, and I saw this couple come and go. They went once and came back twice.
Yeah, I remember that.
Hey, well, now today I have another experience for you.
What's happening to you, Tony?
This happened to me when I was, I'm talking to George Norrie. This happened to me when I was
who's that? Somebody came in a room?
And I came in from school, and I took out the trash, and I was back in my room reading either Motorcycle or Car magazine.
All right.
And I lived in a high-rise building where you take the trash, you dump it down a trash compactor chute.
Yeah, and down it goes. Whoosh.
So now the trash can was totally empty, and I had a Rubbermaid trash can. You can't turn it on right now. I had a Rubbermaid trash can that was about 2.5 feet tall. So and it was empty. So I went to the refrigerator and I got a can of Coke and I drank the Coca-Cola and I threw the can in the empty trash can and went back to my room and continued to reading the magazine I was reading.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing I know, I heard a sound, you know, pling, pling. And my mind said, that's that pop can. And I said, well, what kind of crazy thought is that? So I walked down the hallway and back to the kitchen. And I turned and I looked in the kitchen, and what do I see but this Coke can rolling from the direction of the trash can.
All right, Tony, how did it get out of the trash can?
This is, listen, so I stopped it and I picked it up. And I went and I looked over in the trash can, and the trash can was empty.
How'd it get out?
I'm telling you, I've got a lot of experiences I can call and talk to you about. But the trash can was empty. Now, this particular day, that scared me so bad that I grabbed my jacket, because I, like I said, I was a teenager in high school.
Right.
I grabbed my jacket, I ran downstairs, and I was talking to the security, because I live in the high-rise building. So when my mom comes in, she said, what's wrong with you? I said, oh, nothing. She said, oh, yeah. She said, there's something wrong with you. I said, no, you know, I'm okay. Because I didn't want to tell her because it sounded like it was unbelievable.
You were probably shaking. She probably realized you're scared to death or something.
It was the only thing in the trash can. It's not like the trash can was full because I had emptied the trash can. And it was laying in the bottom of the can. That means it had to come up.
All right. One of two things happened, Tony. Either you had a critter in there who was playing around with it and took it out, or you have a ghost. Let's go west of the Rockies. In California we are. Hello there. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Paku.
Paku. Now, that's a different name. That's pretty.
Yeah, thank you.
What is that?
It's Hmong. It's Asian.
What does it mean?
It means gold flower.
Gold flower?
Yes.
All right, I like that. I like that.
Okay.
Gold flower.
Well, I was listening on my way to work, and I forgot the gentleman's name, but he's the Irish book writer. He was talking about the Green Children, right?
Yep, that's Bob Curran is his name. Okay. The Green Children, exactly.
Okay. Well, I was listening at first. I thought they might have been like aliens, and then you said that they had round, brown almond eyes,
look, yep.
Yes, and they look Asian. And then I just wanted to say that I don't know if this is true for all Asian people, but Hmong people, their babies are green. They're born with a green backside, and it does not go away until they go elementary.
How green is it? I mean, green, like grass?
Yes. It varies, too. And when it was first noticed, people used to report it as child abuse, and they realized that, you know, the kids are just born with it, so they call it the Mongolian mark, and we actually don't know where it comes from. And the Hmong people, they don't actually have a land. They're nomadic, and we don't have any documentation of where we're from. The earliest documentation is when we were having war with China back in the, I'm not sure what year it was, but I learned this in my Hmong history class. they have oral, they have passed down orally that we came from somewhere where there was a lot of ice, and then we migrate down to China. And even some of our children, like once in a blue moon, they'll come out blonde and blue eyes, you know? So you know that we've been around. And we've
yeah.
Yeah.
Now tell me about this green, though. It's just on their back?
Yeah, it's on their back. It goes from the butt up to the lower back. Sometimes my nephew has up to almost to his upper back. And it doesn't go away until they go to elementary. And it's not a bruise either. My husband is actually white. My first son was not born with it, but my second son, he has it.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that before.
You know, yeah. And I guess there's no explanation for it. I've asked around the old people, and their reasoning doesn't make sense, you know.
You may have just solved this mystery of these green children.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, you know, they eventually fade because we kept mixing and breeding with other people, and they eventually disappeared.
That is fascinating. And maybe in this case, they were old enough and the green tint still stayed for a while.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks for the call. Next up, let us go to Shirley in Texas. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Shirley.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I wanted to share an experience. My husband had passed away from cancer, and the years that I had been shopping at food stores, you know, when he was still alive, he used to tell me, don't buy junk. And it was sort of like a running joke because I'd always go to the discount racks.
And buy junk.
Well, and buy, you know, things that were $5 for 25 cents.
You're a value shopper.
Yeah, because I would tell him, you know, hey, maybe we can't use it, but we'll meet somebody who else, you know, who might need it.
That's right.
So, anyway, after he passed away, it was about 2 weeks before I could get to the store. And I'm walking through the store, and this man with a baby in the cart and his wife next to him, a lot younger than I am, and we sort of met in the aisle, and he looked at me, and he said, don't buy junk. And I looked at him, and I said, what? And he said, yeah. He says, I don't know why, but I have to tell you, don't buy junk.
Just out of the blue, he said that.
Absolutely.
Weird.
And it really, you know, struck me, you know, that people out of the clear blue can channel, you know, from the
other side.
And I don't know why, but I have since remarried, and there's knocking on my window. So I don't know if he's still visiting me or...
He's probably happy for you, but he just kind of wants to remind you, hey,
he's still there.
He's still there.
Yes, well, I appreciate it. I just wanted to share that so people don't think that they're going crazy, you know, after a loved one passes away, because they are with us. And I did dream that it was really strange. He was in some sort of I dreamed that he was in a metal and glass building, and he told me he was thinking of coming back. And I don't know why I blurted back to him. I said, well, do you know that if you come back too early, your lungs are still not cleared up, and you're going to be born with a birth defect?
Interesting that you would say that.
I don't know why I even said that. Do you have any idea?
Maybe it's just gut instinct, you know?
Oh, gosh.
It could be. Anyway, hey, Shirley?
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And then just to close, I woke up. I was in the middle of a dream, and he and I were walking along the in San Antonio on the water walkway.
Sure.
And it just dawned on me that maybe he was reborn in San Antonio. I don't know.
You never know. But hey, Shirley.
Thank you.
Hey, Shirley.
Yes.
Don't buy junk.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, let's go to Dave in Boston. You're on the air. How's things going in Massachusetts, David?
Hi, George. Yeah. Not too bad. Not too bad. The Yankees beat us tonight 1-0, though. Not too happy about that.
Man, how are my Tigers? They're still slipping, aren't they?
They're coming back, though.
Are they?
They're over 500, sure.
They might
make a run.
Not playing like they should be, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. I just want to get your opinion. I'm a fan of this TV series, X-Files. They just released a movie tonight. Yep. I haven't seen it.
And there's not many great reviews about it, to tell you the truth. But, you know.
I'll wait till it comes out on demand or something.
Yeah.
But my opinion is, if a television show series can be important, I think that series would be in that category.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was around for all those years. It was a cult following. It was coast to coast all the way.
Right.
It was a great show.
Absolutely. And one thing, George, I'm still waiting for the song, Here They Come. Here They Come.
You got it.
You know what that's about. Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yep. Here They Come. I'm not singing it. Not me. Let's go to you, James. You are on Coast to Coast. Hey, James, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bishop, California.
Okay. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, George. I was kind of finding a little quirky thing with that new cell phone law, and it's with the truckers. And, you know, I'm very grateful for they do for our nation, moving all the goods. But it's still not illegal for them to talk on their CB radios, and it's illegal for us here in California to talk on the cell phone.
Good point.
It's kind of silly. And then, you know, I also was wondering, you talked to that one kind of crazy lady about a month ago about alternative energy. And she didn't want to patent it.
She's been talking to producer Tom,
okay.
And she still doesn't trust him. And they're going at it. I mean, absolutely, he is mortified.
Really?
We have done everything we can to keep her calm, but whatever she's invented, she's not telling us.
It's got to be a ultra top secret, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty
probably great. Works too.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for taking my call, my friend. It was great talking to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a call we got a couple weeks ago. She wanted to patent something, and so we're looking into this for her. But she doesn't want to give Tom the information he needs, and thinks he's stealing it. Actually, thinks Tom's going to take it and run with it. No, Tom won't do that. Trust me. Ohio, we go. Hey, Jill, you're on the air.
Hi, hello. I wanted to tell experience about my mother that passed away in the hospital due to malpractice there.
Oh, gosh, sorry to hear that, first of all. When did this happen?
About a year ago.
Yeah, well, a lot of these things happen in the hospital.
Right. Well, it was traumatic, so my son and I were very close to her. My son lived with her. After she died, we would go every Sunday to the grave and to church where we had her service.
Okay.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Because I'm driving. Okay. And so I picked up my son at her house, and I walked up the drive, went in the house at 8 o'clock in the morning, clear day, came back out. We got in the car, and you know how you glance towards your driveway when you're pulling out?
Mm-hmm.
The whole driveway was filled with, like, moving glare, like glare you'd see on a hot summer day.
Yep, like one of those mirage looks.
Right, and it caught both of our eyes because it was all in lines moving. So I have a lot of weird things that happen to me. Everybody knows that. But my son's never had anything weird happen to him. So I said, do you see what I see? And he said, yeah. And I said, my exact words were, what the hell is that? Then we looked up towards the gutter, and there was a small white ball of fine-looking smoke. So it just hovered by the roof, so I thought, like, the roof was on fire. It looked like when you see a fire and smoke's kind of seeping out.
Yep.
And so my son ran upstairs to check on that. I think we were in shock and didn't realize what we were seeing. Nothing was on fire. It was crazy.
I think it was
my mom kind of giving us the message because we were kind of both devastated.
Trying to tell you she's okay.
And like I said, for two people to see something like that together, not just one person usually sees, you know, apparitions or whatever they see, but for two people to see that, that was just
amazing. That's pretty compelling stuff.
Right. And then we left to go to church. Like, I'm so mad at myself, like idiots. We should have stayed there, taken a picture of it. It was there when we pulled out of the driveway still.
And now has she moved on?
Yeah, we've had more strange things happen, like people that didn't, like a lady that didn't go to my mom's funeral, said she had a dream of her, never dreams in color, and told me what she was wearing, and that was what I buried her in. A relative I haven't seen for years, like, dreamt of her and said she was in a teal dress in this dream, and that's the dress that I had at the funeral. So a lot of strange things, like, of her giving me messages back that is not coincidence.
Were you too close when she was alive?
Yeah, we were together every day. Me and my son ate with her every night after work, and in the hospital, I was there, like, three times a day because she was expected to recover. But they did an operation and didn't know that her colon was not stitched together right.
Oh, gosh.
And she got internal infection. They didn't have a clue what was going on.
Had they fixed her the first time? Would she have still been here?
Yeah. So it was unexpected, traumatic.
Sad.
And
very sad.
Me and my son kept walking around saying, like, we didn't even want to live anymore. So I think that's why she came. You know what I'm saying?
Were you that distraught over this stuff, Jill?
Yeah, we just, after seeing her in the hospital, because she tried to jump out of the bed, said she didn't want to die. They had to restrain her.
Oh, gosh.
And then every day they keep telling me they're trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. She's going to be okay. And then, you know, basically killed her. And we did win the case, too, against the hospital. So
Can I ask, without seeming too pushy here, because I'm curious now, on something uh-huh. like that, when someone dies and you win in court, I mean, are you allowed to tell us how much that was? I mean, no dollar, of course, will ever replace your mother, but what does a jury give you on something like that?
Well, we didn't even get to court. We just settled out of court.
Yeah.
But it was like $100,000 range because they used what she went in the hospital with, like, and said it was a technicality. Like, if you know, die, she had, like, ovary cancer that they could take out.
And your attorney, I guess, recommended take the settlement, huh?
Right, because they can always say it was a complication of. That's how they get out of, you know, that they didn't stitch up what they took, you know.
What did the attorney get, a third?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just was, we weren't even interested in that. We were interested in just letting them know what they did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not really the money. It's the way that I guess you try to get back to them, to just get them to admit that they made a mistake. And, you know,
nobody admits that, and that's what makes you mad. And this went on all week, and then into the weekend, there's not even the doctor there that's taking care of her. You have all kinds of other fill-in doctors. It was like a mess. Nobody knew what was going on, and it was outrageous.
Well, see, that's why they, Jill, that's why they settle, so they don't have to admit, nor are they guilty. You just basically get your check, and hopefully they think you're going to go away.
Right.
And, you know, and then in the hospital or the doctor goes on not having to worry that that he did anything wrong.
Right.
At least in a court of law, he never had to admit it.
Uh-huh. And you don't want to go into a hospital on the weekend, because the weekend, no one's there.
You know, I had that story this week that a surgeon, they wrote a story in Reader's Digest, and a surgeon said, whatever you do, don't get operated on a Friday, because Saturday, when you're in bed recuperating, hospital staff is at its lowest ebb. You don't want to do that. It's interesting that you would say that. Well, I'll be back in just a moment. Open lines continue. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's shout-out time. Those of you listening on your very favorite radio stations across North America, including Canada, hello to you. And thank you for supporting Coast to Coast all around the planet. Streamlink members, thank you for everything you do. Those of you listening on XM, by the way, the FCC has approved the Sirius XM merger, so when that takes place shortly, we'll be there somewhere. I don't know yet, but I'll let you know. And then the various chat rooms all around the country. NighthawkZone.com, folks, hello to you, including you, Bad Boy, which, by the way, Bad Boy, you gave me a great idea yesterday. And I think next year we'll have Tommy set up a live remote. We'll do our show, if we can, out of the Comic-Com, I guess they call it, in San Diego. I'd like to do that program right there on floor where everybody is and maybe get all those folks who participate in it to come on board as part of our guests. Good idea from you, by the way. Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC, Into Infinity, Frog Forum, the National Radio Club, the MySpace groups, all of you, chat rooms around the country. Thanks for making Coast to Coast the number one program in the world. Well, they are still talking about the asteroid Apophis, which is going to get very close to the planet in 2036. Scientists have warned that an impact would be far more devastating than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima at the end of World War II. As a matter of fact, a Russian newspaper now continues to write about this. They seem to be more concerned than most U.S. scientists. An astronomer by the name of Sergei Barbarbanov explains that the predicted course of events could be this. The critical moment will be in 2029 when Apophis passes so close to Earth that it will be visible to the naked eye. The consequence of this flyby will tell us whether it will come back again and collide with us in 2036. If Apophis passes through a particular point in space called a keyhole in the Earth's gravity, it may change its course for the worse. In ancient Egypt, Apophis was the spirit of evil and destruction, a snake-like demon determined to plunge the world into eternal darkness. A fitting name, then, for a menace that could potentially cause devastating global damage. NASA estimates that the blast caused by Apophis would be 100,000 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Would also be more destructive than Siberia's Tunguska event of 100 years ago. It's thought to have been caused by a small space rock explosion, and this impact is the largest in Earth's recent history, though not confirmed. It wreaked havoc on a vast area there. There's no doubt, according to some of the planetary scientists in Russia, in discovering these objects, if we don't protect ourselves from them, they say, but we also need better observation techniques. It's difficult to track these objects from the ground. We need a space observation platform. That would be the best option. Russia is offering to launch a space probe to plant a radio transmitter on Apophis so its orbit can be more accurately tracked. That's probably not a bad idea. Now, so if 2029 is a critical moment, that would be, here we are, 2000, yeah, it's 21 years from now. 21 years from now. I'll be 79 years old, maybe still on the air, talking about Apophis. Wouldn't that be something? Let's go to the phones. John in North Carolina. Take it away, John. How are you?
Oh, hey, George. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Love thing. You, man. I've been listening to you for the past 5 years, and you have seriously changed my life. I cannot look at the news or anything else that's going on in the world without a different kind of twist of what I think's going on.
A little perspective. And you know, I was talking with somebody about that today, too, John, who said, you know what, you can watch the news all day on television, but once we listen to all of you at Coast to Coast, we understand the news better than what they report to us. And that was a pretty good compliment.
I'll take it one step further, and I think that Coast to Coast, and particularly your job there, you're fulfilling biblical prophecy, in my opinion. You know how knowledge will be increased in the end, and all that. I think you're definitely bringing that up. But I had a question for you, because I've been listening, like I said, and I heard some talk or discussion about like praying mantis people.
Yes,
I'm the guy who sent you the email asking about if you ever seen that movie They Live.
Yes.
And oh my goodness, I've never, like I said, I watched that in the '80s, didn't think nothing of it, but I watched it again recently. I said, oh, my goodness, is everything Coast talks about? Do you have an opinion on who the praying mantis people are? Is that like a gray? Are they like angelic? Are they
demonic? Do you remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the one with Richard Dreyfuss?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Right toward the end, when they were at that mountainside area, all the military people and the government ops people, and they were waiting for the big craft to arrive.
Right.
Remember when it came in and it basically landed and it opened up and then everybody that spaceship had picked up or snatched over the years, the little kid, soldiers, Air Force people, everybody, they let them go and they came down the platform And then right after everyone had come off the ship, this tall praying mantis looking being kind of walked out. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you think they're aliens?
Oh, yeah. That's what they are. And
now, is that part of the Nibiru folks?
I don't know.
Planted the seeds of humanity, maybe?
I don't know where they're from.
Oh, my goodness.
But they scare people because they just look so insect-like.
Oh, wow. Because, you know, like the grays are supposed to be bad, but the reptilians are, or I can't keep them.
The reptilians are the bad ones.
No, the reptilians are the bad ones, and the grays are kind of like neutral.
Yep.
So do you think the praying mantis, maybe the benevolent stuff?
I'm not sure. That is a good question.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you ever see a little real praying mantis, the insect? They're kind of cute.
I don't know about you. I get feelings from them. Like, they understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, they look at you. Their head turns.
Their head turns, and yeah. I think they use telepathy and say, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep wondering if they're little tiny aliens.
But you think that there are praying mantises on Earth? Wow.
Is that something?
Wouldn't that be something?
You never know. Okay, hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, George, you're awesome. Bye.
John, have a good weekend. Next up, Jordan in Ohio. You're on the air with us. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Great. First and foremost, of course, I absolutely love the show. I'm a bartender. I live in the city, but I work closer to the suburbs. So generally, I work later hours. I always manage to catch a show.
What's the most drinks you've ever had to make at one time for everybody?
Oh God, I'd say close to 15 shots, with a couple martinis and a few mixed drinks.
Like a machine.
Oh, it gets a little hectic.
Yeah,
it's a great time though. But and actually, the caller you just had summed it up perfectly for me. I've been listening to the show for a while. I've kind of developed my own question, and I'm not sure if you guys have discussed this before or if this is a first-time thing, but we all have – there's so many interpretations of different spacecraft, different aliens like the grays, the insect type, and my question is, because we know – or we assume because so many people have evidence of it, is that we've been visited by multiple types of alien life forms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, with advanced technology, they could either help or harm us pretty radically, really. And none of the species has really bothered to contact us in a specific way. Now, my question is, and I don't want to sound too Star Trek-y, but is there some sort of Federation contract saying you can't really interact with our species, our culture, that kind of thing?
There's always been talk that there's been some kind of unwritten agreement between governments and them, and that there really would be no interaction to the point where we would be knowledgeable and aware of who they are or what might be going on. And I don't know if that's the case or not. To me, that sounds a little too bizarre.
Right, interesting, but
does that
kind of build on a conspiracy theory of...
Yeah, it sure does.
With the Roswell crash, people say we gained a lot of technology from that. Is that one of those things where we can use this, but we can't use this? I mean,
and the thing about, you know, why did we stop going to the moon? Did they tell us not to show up? You know, all of it's interesting. I don't know. I do believe we've been visited. I believe it's continuing. I think there are too many great eyewitnesses out there, pilots, police officers, not that they're eyewitness testimony is any better, but they're out there. I mean, these are credible people who don't really want to lie.
Right, exactly. I was going on the integrity of the witnesses. It's usually Air Force pilots, it's people in the government, it's people, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
It's generally people that don't, you know, you get a lot of that kind of shotgun trailer park, oh, I saw a UFO, but a lot of it is really kind of in-depth evidence.
And the bottom line is, I guess, everybody seems to be seeing these except me.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate
it. Sure thing. Yesterday, by the way, we were talking about some of our coast-to-coast tremendous guests who've fallen ill lately. Danion Brinkley, possibly two more heart attacks. He's got stents in himself now, and you heard him. He's recuperating, doing better. And then I got an email yesterday from someone who said, George, Lionel Fanthorpe is doing well. And I figured, well, that's an old story. I knew about that many months ago because Lionel and I just had a chance to meet each other just a few months ago, and he's doing much better. But no, I read this email even closer, and it said, no, George, this just happened. We're going live to the United Kingdom for a moment. Lionel Fanthorpe is on the air. Lionel, is this true? How are you feeling, first of all, my friend? Lionel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right.
There you go. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful again. I've got my strength back. I've got my energy back. If I've got just a minute, I can tell you what happened on this lady.
Please, please, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It was 3 weeks ago, and I was, unusual for me, a little bit breathless and feeling tired, which I never do. I can just work 18-hour days. It doesn't bother me. So I thought, I better just go and check up with my doctor. And I said, Doc, I'm tired, and I'm a bit breathless, which is unaccustomed. And he gave me one of these ECG tests, and on the ECG, I don't know what he read from it, but as the printout came out, he started writing a note to the head cardiologist at the University Hospital here in Cardiff, and he said, don't drive, get a taxi, get straight up there now.
Oh, my God.
So I raced up to the cardiology department. Trish came with me, and they took me to see this head cardiology guy, who's a wonderful doctor, brilliant specialist, called Peter O'Callaghan. And Peter checked me out and said, you've got, and the technical term is ventricular tachycardia, which meant that I was doing extra beats. And at one point, it was going at 173.
Oh, my God, Lionel. You know, that could do you in, you know. Yeah. Jeez.
This is what he said. Anyhow, he trained under an international specialist called Wynne Davis, who was at a big hospital in London. And Wynne has a machine in his big London hospital, which we don't have in Cardiff. So Dr. O'Callaghan, who trained under Dr. Davis, sent me to London, to the big hospital there, and he did a process called an ablation, where he was sending wires up through the veins and arteries into my heart. He found the place where this bad electric signal was coming from, and he wiped it out.
That is now was it blockage or
it wasn't a blockage. It was an old piece of scar tissue. I had a minor heart attack 20 years ago and completely recovered and back to my martial arts and back to my weight training nothing had happened. But there was a tiny piece of old scar tissue from this 20-year-old problem, and that had suddenly taken it into its head to send out electric signals.
Oh, my God.
So instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, I was getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then this blessed 5 kept repeating itself.
Yeah, at a rapid clip.
At a rapid clip, as you say, George. Anyhow, he did this big ablation process, and then he's fitted me with a marvelous thing, bit like a pacemaker, you know, it just goes in under your collarbone and under your ribs, and you don't know it's there after a few days.
Good.
But if the abnormal rhythm ever resumes, then this guy, it's a bit like having a security man watching to make sure nobody burgles your office. And if the rhythm goes wrong again, this guy just kicks in and puts it right.
Well, you sound good.
I feel terrific, George. And thank you ever so much for giving me a couple of minutes to say thank you to you and Tom and all the guys who, you know, the good friends among the listeners who care about me. And it's lovely to have good, caring friends. It's the best remedy. It's the best therapy.
Just tell me we're not working you too hard here.
Of course not. I'd love to. I mean, broadcasting is my life. And Coast to Coast is my favorite show. I love to be with you.
Okay, my friend. You take care. Lots to do in the future with you.
Yeah. We look forward to lots more work.
All right.
God bless.
Had us worried there, but he sounds good, doesn't he? And by the way, he recorded for us last year, which we have, The Night Before Christmas, which will be our Christmas night, Christmas Eve traditional little playing for you. It's just superb. It really is. He is one heck of a person. Let's go to next, our Hal in Missouri. You're on the air. Hey, Hal, how are you?
Well, good evening, George. I'm doing fine, and you're doing great. Love the show.
You sound like Dan Aykroyd.
I do.
You do.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I've been listening to Coast to Coast since Art Bell started it up.
It's a long time.
And I used to think that that he was, when he was talking about the big black triangles, that he was just hyping stuff to get listeners and, you know, having fun. And then he said, well, he saw one. Well, he's still hyping it. And then I saw one and became a true believer.
Yeah, you realized it wasn't all hype after all.
Right. And then you started talking about the old hag and sleep paralysis, and I was questioning that. Is this really going on? Or
is George hyping it?
Yeah. Well, February 9th, I was sound asleep, middle of the night, and it was like someone was pouring fluid, pouring something into me, and it started at my head, and about the time it got to mid-thorax, I decided, this is bad. This is sleep paralysis. I don't know what it is, but it's not good. It was like an entity was doing this.
Yes.
And there wasn't any old hag, nothing on the bed. It was just my body being paralyzed from the head down. And I thought, this is not right. If it's a nice entity, they wouldn't be doing this. They would have asked first. So I decided this was evil, not good. And I screamed in my thoughts, go to hell. I'm a Christian. And it stopped. And I sat up and said, yep, thank you. And I haven't had that experience again. But I tried to get in the other night with that gal. I thought this. I wanted to corroborate her.
Diane Morang.
Yes, Diane. Yeah, yep. Her experiences with this.
It sounds like you are now a believer.
Very much so.
In all this. Yeah.
Very much. Oh, yes. Very much.
It'll happen for sure. Okay. Hey, thanks for the call.
Love the show.
Appreciate it. We've got another moment of time to go for you with open lines, so we'll be back in a moment. I'll tell you a little bit in about a half hour or so about my conference this weekend. George Knapp will be there. Some other just home run hitters in the field of ufology will be there as well. Those of you who live in the San Jose, California area, come on out. I'll give you some information on just how to find everybody. Truly a tremendous assembly of experts. MC is John Greenwald, who hosts the BlackVault.com. I'll be back in a moment. More open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM.